This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Alexandra Schwartz writes for The New Yorker about theater, books, art, and much more. And recently, she's been raving about a debut novel by a writer named Sanaï Lemoine. Lemoine was born in Paris, but she lives in the U.S., and she wrote her novel in English. Lemoine's book is called The Margot Affair, and it draws on her life in a very particular way. Here's Alexandra Schwartz.
So The Margot Affair is narrated by Margot, who is a 17-year-old high school student in Paris. She lives with her mother, Anouk, who is a famous stage actress, a very dramatic figure and a dominant figure in her own life. And her father is the French Minister of Culture. The catch is that Margot's parents are not together. She and her mother are her father's secret family. He lives with his wife, who is a woman named Madame Lapierre, and their two sons. And they don't know anything about Margot's existence. And that is what starts to make Margot very uncomfortable the older she gets.
On any given day, ours could feel like an ordinary life. Like most families, we sometimes ate our meals in silence. We had been sick and torn up in each other's presence. I was often in a bad mood around Father, wanting more of him, but then I would disappear after we had finished eating, preferring to read or be alone. And then there was the banality of waiting. Weeks going by, waiting for him, hating him for being gone, wondering if he loved us, missing him, believing he was better than everyone else because time with him was precious. That is how we lived in a constant state of anticipation. On mornings when Anouk slept in, I stood on our balcony and looked down at the street. The pavement was so far away that I could no longer see any cracks. I watched people trotting down our street without ever raising their heads. I imagined hundreds of men and women who shared their lives with two partners. There were so many of us, children of these double families who dreamed of the other side. That night, like all the others since seeing Madame Lapierre, I awoke with the skin of my body chilled and wet, and a strong desire to tumble to the other side. To have the separate spheres of our lives collide. I lay paralyzed in bed with the desire to break free from this routine. I felt it pumping through me, wild and exciting.
So you discovered when you were a teenager, I believe, that your father also had a second family. What was it like to discover that?
It was really surprising. I discovered that my father had a second family, a woman he'd been seeing for several years, and two sons when I was 21. So I had just graduated from college and I was in Paris for the summer and I was living with my father. It was just the two of us. I truly did not suspect that there was another family. And so when he told me at first, I remember hearing his voice saying the words and they didn't really register. And then all of a sudden he had pulled out photos of them, and it happened kind of like in a dream. And I think because it was just the two of us at home, and I wasn't really telling anyone else about this other family at that stage, I often obsessed and thought about the other side and what their lives might be like.
And did you realize pretty early on that you were going to turn to fiction as a way of exploring that idea of the other side? Because the novel is told from the perspective of a narrator who had the opposite experience from you. She always knew that she was not her father's primary family. She understood that she was being kept a secret.
Yes. No, that's a great question. And no, I had no idea. So I had, at that point, I was writing a lot, and I moved to New York after that summer to start my MFA at Columbia. I started writing this story that circled around a character named Margot, who was the hidden daughter of the Minister of Culture in France. And it took a while for me to see how, you know, that maybe there was this active, now that I look at it, maybe an act of empathy or like me trying to understand the psychology of what it would have been like for a hidden child. And also, what if she chose to break free from that secret, her father's secret?
Yeah, it's very interesting what you say about the secrecy element of it. In your novel, the plot is really set into motion when Margot decides that she's had enough of the secrecy. In what is a bit of an act of touching naivete, but also a very powerful act, she contacts a journalist and decides to reveal her father's identity. Your own father, I believe, asked you to keep his second family secret from your mother. So was that aspect of secrecy something that was on your mind as you were working through the novel?
Yes, it really was. And even that plot point took a long time for me to come to. And I think it's because it was so wrapped up with, maybe that was the most personal element of the story in a sense, because for, I think it was maybe about 2 months, I didn't talk to my mother about what I'd learned from my father, which, you know, 2 months isn't that long, but it feels like a lifetime in the moment. And so it took maybe 4 years of writing this novel to realize that Margot should be the one who breaks a secret. Early on, I had other characters, or it just appeared in the news. And I wonder, you know, in a sense, it's kind of a rewriting of history of if I had maybe had more awareness at the time, or a better sense of my agency, or maybe a less complicated or challenging relationship with both my parents, it wouldn't have stayed a secret from my mother for as long as it did.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's more than just personal precedent for the story. In thinking about this, I thought, you know, people have second families everywhere. It's not just a French thing. But I think we in the United States tend to think of this tolerance for infidelity, for affairs, for other relationships as very French. And there is the major and probably most famous example of precedent in François Mitterrand's daughter Mazarine, who was his daughter with his longtime lover, and who was kept secret from the public. I think her identity was revealed around her 20th birthday. Was that an event that you remember from your own childhood?
Yes, it's always been floating in the back of my mind. And around the time when I learned that my father had another family, I was working as a researcher for a journalist, an American journalist who lives in France. And one of my assignments was to study Mazarine Pinjot. And I read her autobiographical book. She's written several books, but one of her books, Bouche Cousue, is about her father. And I remember it was the first time that I really was discovering these very intimate details about their life behind closed doors. And I was so moved by it and how much love there was. And so I think it was It was more that I drew inspiration from there, perhaps, and thinking about my own relationship with my father and this sense of yearning that Margot has for her father in the novel. She really, what she's seeking for is not just his legal recognition as her daughter, but his love.
So the Margot Affair is a very French novel in both its subject. It takes place in France. You have a minister of culture. You have the French lycée. You wrote about this and this very French world in English. Why do you write in English?
The short answer is that English is the language that I'm most comfortable in. It's the language that I learned to write and read in because we moved to Australia when I was 4. So although I first learned to speak in French and in Spanish with my mom, I fell in love with books in English. And French was really the language of writing essays for me, and not so much creatively. So I wrote it that way, not thinking too much about it during the process. Though as I got closer to completing the novel, there were moments where I really worried that maybe this novel wouldn't be French enough, or it would be, I don't know, there would be something that would be missing from it because it was a story being told in English. And so I would play around with dialogue and I would even translate the English dialogue into French in my head and think, okay, is that really the choice of word, or is that the way that someone would have this conversation in French? And then I tried to find a middle ground because I didn't want the novel to feel like a translation. I wanted it to feel fluid and true to the English language.
I wasn't planning to ask this question, but now I actually really want to know. It is a coming-of-age novel. It's an unusual coming-of-age, but there are other things that many of us will relate to, trying to form your own identity, going out into the world on your own. There is sex. What was it like to write sex?
You are the first person to ask any question related to sex for this novel.
How is that possible? Sexy novel. There is, let's just say for listeners, without giving anything away, that there is a lot of sexual tension that courses through the novel. You have a young girl who is talking to an older male journalist who she's putting her hopes and dreams in his hands.
Sex is always difficult to write about. For this novel, it was kind of fun because Margot is 17, I wanted her experiences to be really heightened. And there's one scene, I guess, two-thirds of the way into the novel that I think of as a pivotal scene that is a sex scene. And that one was tough. I rewrote it several times. I wanted to convey that at 17, although Margot has had sexual experiences, she's thinking so much about the other person's pleasure and not about her own as well. And it's something that several readers have privately commented on of this sense of recognition of, oh, I remember being at that stage where you are, oh, this is so intimate, but you're still defining yourself. Like you don't have a strong sense of self and identity yet. But you want to seem as though you do. So you're very much thinking about the other person and how you appear to them.
Yeah, a desire to project a certain kind of sophistication, which actually in itself is paradoxically kind of naive. You know, it seems like one of the big challenges in writing about sex also is that the acts themselves could not be more common. I mean, this is universal experience we're dealing with. And yet, for every person and for every character, the first time, these feelings are so new and explosive that you basically have to deal with something very familiar, but at the same time make it totally new from this person's perspective.
That's so true. And how do you do that in a way that is also sexy? And because I really wanted the sex to feel sexy, and I'm not just the sex, but the moments of attraction, the moments of sensuality. And I think, you know, we see a lot of uncomfortable sex or or painful sex. And that's not what I wanted in this novel. I wanted it to be kind of this, in a year that is so difficult for Margot, where there is grief and there are moments of like real upheaval, that it can be something that is a pleasurable moment for her.
The book is dedicated to your mother and to your father, which just reading it on the dedication page before opening the novel and starting to read seems a lot simpler than it does by the end of the novel. Have your parents read the book, and what have they thought, if so?
Yeah, they've both read the book. My father read it first, and he didn't say much aside from, oh, I really loved the detail of the fact that the father character wears an white apron the way that I do, or, you know, that was kind of like the thing that he fixated on. But then something funny happened where a couple of weeks after the book was published, I got a call from my dad, and we were speaking on the phone, and we started talking about his family and how it had been really painful to learn about their existence. And he apologized for the first time in 10 years. I had always been waiting for him to say that he was sorry. And I sometimes wonder if that conversation wouldn't have happened without this book. And I feel like I need to say that, you know, as much as this novel is so personal, we've been talking about all the ways that it is, the parallels aren't necessarily clear. If you know my parents but don't know what happened, you would not necessarily recognize any of what is happening. There's a part of me that wondered, maybe my family won't see themselves in it. But of course they did see themselves.
Well, Sanai, thank you so much, and congratulations on a wonderful novel.
Thank you. Thank you, Alexandra, for this conversation.
Sanai Lemoine spoke with staff writer Alex Schwartz. Lemoine's novel is called The Margot Affair.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.